You might be surprised to hear this, but in the ancient church, people didn't actually go to confession as much as they do today. In the earliest centuries of the church, there were about seven big sins that were so big that it was impossible for the rest of the people around you in your community to not know that you did. And so penance was a public act. And so was the reconciliation of the penitent. We find this odd today when people are so used to going privately to their spiritual father, and people confess all kinds of venial sins and imperfections and examine their consciences about sins that may not be as obvious to everyone. But in those days, people often stayed in their communities their entire lives and did not move about as easily as they do now. And so that meant that all of those sins had very serious consequences for not only themselves, but their families and for their entire communities. In one sense, no sin is really ever private. And no sin is really ever individual. There are always ripple effects around you when you choose to sin. You would think that in our own time, as people clamor loudly for transparency and accountability, which are very good things, there would be just as loud calls for the restoration of public penance and reconciliation. But there aren't. Why? Well, to be blunt, most people really want transparency and accountability from everyone else around them, from their spouses and children and bosses, to their political and religious leaders. But a much smaller percentage of people want the same kind of visibility in their own sphere. And so the practice of the ancient church disappeared over time. And quite frankly, I think that if Pope Leo XIV restored this ancient practice, I don't think anyone would actually show up for it, right? Can you imagine if you open the bulletin next Ash Wednesday and see 7 p.m. everybody can publicly confess their sins and about 40 days later we'll take care of it? I don't think anyone's going to show up for that. I could be wrong, but we're not going to see, right? So why did Christians do it then? And why would they not want to do it now? Well, first of all, I think it's pretty safe to say that in the early church, the very real possibility of martyrdom for everyone who professed Jesus as Lord was such that it kept people on the straight and narrow. Our sense of sin and its reality has been muted by the sheer fact of being able to sin without it really bothering us all that much. People get, "Only God can judge me," tattooed on their chest all the time. But do they remember in their hearts that God will actually judge them? And that hell exists. Not because of God's plan, but because of our free choice. That was something we chose to create. But when you reduce the realistic possibility of your own eternal damnation to practically zero, the scared straight program isn't quite as effective as it once was. And then there's the fact that the failures of Christian ministers of the gospel to actually live the gospel they preach have also made more than a few people totally uninterested And what a man with a Roman collar has to say about sin and hell and damnation or anything else. Yet for all of that, churches all over the world are full on Ash Wednesday. You know, as a staff, as we were preparing for Lent and Holy Week this year, I just had this sense, maybe it was my guardian angel whispering in my ear, that we needed to have more opportunities for people to come on this day. And so we added two more services of ashes. And you might be surprised to see, looking at you today, this is the lightest attended of all of them, right? Father Thomas and I have been hearing confessions all day long, right? It's amazing. The churches are full on Ash Wednesday. I've always found this a little odd, right? It's not a holy day of obligation. It's not a solemnity. It's not a feast of feasts, right? I mean, I realize that people love to get free stuff, right? And ashes are free and all. But so is the Eucharist, the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ. That's free, but it sure wasn't cheap. Because for us to have that gift, it required the self-gift of the life of God Himself. We get that gift, actually the giver of all good gifts, every time we come to Holy Mass. I wonder why the churches are so slammed on Ash Wednesday, but not on the other days of the week or the Sundays of the year. And maybe it's because for all the fact that we don't really want anyone to judge us, right? There is something deep down inside that recognizes our own mortality. And that if we could be honest with ourselves for a hot minute, we're all just a little messed up. Right? There's something not quite right with us. We like to pretend that we have it all together and we know what we're doing. But do we? Kneeling at a communion rail and hearing those words, "You are dust, and to dust you shall return." These are not comfortable words at all. The other formula used in the ordinary form somehow still comes through those other words as well. The first words of the public preaching of the Savior: repent and believe the gospel. In the ancient church, the baptized Christians who went before the bishop at the cathedral church knew that Jesus had commanded them to turn away from sin and have faith in good news, that love conquers all. They also knew that they had chosen to go back to where they came from, a place of slavery and bondage, and that their faith had faltered. They knew that they had sinned, not just against God, but against the entire body of Christ, and had impaired their communion with all of the believers. And so they met the bishop outside of the church, where he sprinkled on their heads ashes that had come from the palms that had been carried triumphantly during Holy Week the year before. I want you to think how amazing that is, right? You know, some people ask, where did the ashes come from, right? It wasn't that Father was smoking a lot of cigarettes in the last year and saving them up, right? They come from the palms of Palm Sunday. the sign of victory, and the celebration of divine sovereignty, right? Hosanna to the Son of David, that we sang as we carried those signs of victory and triumph, that are reduced to dust by the checkmate of sin and the realization that I do what I want really does mean the loss of eternal life. It seems so extreme to us today, but the bishop would then assign a penance to the persons gathered, and many of them did not cross the threshold of that church again that day or that Lent, and some of them for years. But the time would come when the entire body of Christ would gather again for Maundy Thursday, in great and holy week, and the penitents would be reconciled and admitted to their place once again in the assembly of the faithful. Think about it. The ashes of repentance and the deliberate exclusion from worship ended in the Eucharist on its very day of its institution. Ashes gave way to bread come down from heaven and wine to rejoice the hearts of men. An invitation to participate in the wedding feast of the Lamb. So today we still have those who are brave enough to bow their heads, to have a cross of ash traced on their foreheads. They self-identify as both Catholic Christian and sinner. God blesses that humility. That is such a powerful act of recognizing that God is God and we are not. And we welcome them with open arms. But don't stay shivering outside the gate by then exiting a church whose doors are open, not closed to you. Not by tradition, but by grace. Because you are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And Lent is the time to get your wedding garment ready by letting the precious blood of the Lamb once slain wash away your sins by the gift of faith, by prayer, fasting, and works of mercy. Jesus sees himself in you. Because you're expelling from your heart the passing things of this world, so the King of Love has a place to dwell and indeed to reign. We know that we can't have Easter without Good Friday, and so you can't have Ash Wednesday without Holy Thursday. You know, ashes aren't supposed to turn into bread. But your corpse isn't supposed to rise gloriously either, according to nature. Yet that's the miracle of God, isn't it? The dust of your repentance, your turning away from sin and towards joy, will take the dry bones of your soul and make them dance with flesh and meat in their due season. And all that beauty on the other side, it's yours. You just have to let the ashes do what they are supposed to do and bring you to the light of heaven.